The Sons of Saturday podcast is brought to you by our friends at Main Street Pharmacy. Located right on Main Street in Blacksburg, Virginia, Main Street Pharmacy is proudly owned by a Hokie family and has been a partner of this podcast since 2020. MSP offers free delivery, curbside pickup, and vaccinations as well. If you are a student or resident in the Blacksburg area, you can always trust that at Main Street Pharmacy, you are not just a number, you are a neighbor.
Fans, it is the morning after a tough loss for the women's program yesterday at Virginia. We haven't talked in quite some time on here, and in the time since then, I've been to three games in person, two girls and a guys game. So I'll give some high level thoughts on all the games I was at, and then we'll break down both where the women's program sits right now as their regular season has concluded, and where the men sit with two games left. So. First, I want to talk about the North Carolina game, the women's senior night. I know Billy got on here and talked about it a little bit before he interviewed Olivia Somio, but that was an amazing environment. That was an amazing day. I had so much fun in Blacksburg that weekend. And, you know, you started out with College Game Day coming to town. That was a really cool production. It was nice to be in the building and see how that works and, you know, watch the on-court director moving everybody around and just seeing kind of the ins and outs of that. But then it was a great showing for Virginia Tech and great showing for women's basketball. Liz and Georgia on TV and their teammates sitting in the front row cheering them on and Coach Brooks coming out and talking. But that was just a really, really cool event to have, you know, have hosted in Blacksburg. It was really special. And then for the girls to come out and play like they did and take care of a really good Carolina team on senior night, that was awesome stuff. You know, Georgia got in foul trouble early, still finished with 19 and 11. Liz was, you know, herself. I think she had 34 against Carolina. So that was just a really, really cool day in Blacksburg that I won't forget for a long time. And I think it was, you know, pretty monumental for the women's game, but also for Coach Brooks and this team and where he has this program going on a big scale, you know, large picture where this program is heading. To be able to host something like that was really, really special.
Yeah. The entire day, right? I mean, you mentioned College Game Day, looked really cool on TV. You can see, like, obviously we follow all sorts of Virginia Tech social media accounts, right? From all the Suns accounts to Tech Sideline, you name it, like everybody that was there kind of getting a glimpse behind the scenes. It was very cool. Kind of seeing, I guess, the behind the scenes look that you don't necessarily see on television. And I wasn't there, right? I was at home. But to be able to kind of see the behind-the-scenes stuff was pretty cool. The environment, obviously, in Castle was crazy for the game. It was really good for game day, obviously, too. But for the game, it was unbelievable. I mean, extremely loud on TV. You know, sounded like, in some ways, sounded like when Virginia Tech hosted the NCAA tournament game last year with how loud it was.
Yeah, it felt that way on campus, too. Like, the buzz on campus felt just like that. It was really cool.
Yeah, very loud. Game itself was awesome. I mean, Kayla King set the tone early. I mean, she hit a three-pointer from the parking lot. I mean, a parking lot three, and that really just set the tone for the entire game. Kitley was unbelievable. Does what she does. And, yeah, you mentioned Georgia getting into foul trouble. Virginia Tech kind of weathered that first half storm, right, because Tech jumps out to that big lead. Then Carolina makes a run in the second quarter with Georgia in foul trouble. And then Tech comes out in the second half, just kind of squashes the bug, right? they came out and played really well in the second half. And Kitley was really good, and Virginia Tech got themselves, you know, a top five ranking thanks to that win, right, which I think was expected given the way that week had gone, right? If Virginia Tech was going to beat North Carolina at home to kind of end that week, the expectation was that they would get a top five ranking, and they did. Kind of what transpired after that we'll get into.
Yeah, so then they go up to South Bend and play a Notre Dame team that I think for – at least for my money, might be underrated in terms of their national ranking at 17.
Agree.
They're obviously going to be much higher than that now. But Hannah Hidalgo is a phenomenon. Like, she's out of control good. Maddie Westbeld, Citrone, that's just a really, really good team. I completely forgot until I was watching the game that Olivia Miles hasn't played at all this year.
Yeah.
Last year, you know, she got hurt towards the end of the season as their best player at the time was the number one team in the ACC. She still hasn't played yet. So next year they're going to have a backcourt of Hidalgo and Olivia Miles.
That's a top five team.
Yeah, that's going to be really tough to defend next year. But that Notre Dame team is going to be really good, and they are really good right now. Hidalgo finished with 23, 6, and 12 rebounds, 3 steals. Just kind of does it all. It's absolutely electric. Really fun to watch. And Virginia Tech just didn't play very well overall. You know, didn't turn the ball over at a super high rate. Didn't really – I mean, they got out-rebounded really bad, 43 to 29.
Yeah.
Georgia had a tough shooting night, 7 of 24, which isn't that bad. But I guess by our standards, it's not great. And they had a hard time getting Liz going. She only finished with 12 points. She had 12, Eck had 12, Georgia had 20, and then nobody else was in double figures for the Hokies. Whereas, you know, Notre Dame's three top scorers had 21, 23, and 19. So just a tough night up in a really tough place to play. So I don't really have a whole lot to say about that game. It was disappointing to lose that one, but Notre Dame's a good team, and I think that they were kind of poised to make a nice little run in the postseason here as well. So not a whole lot to take from that one. But the Virginia game. So I went down to UVA last night and went to this game. It was – I'll give UVA a little bit more credit probably than people on Twitter probably will. By the time the game started, it was probably closer to 50-50. I would still lean 60-40 Virginia Tech. The entire upper bowl of John Paul Jones Arena was maroon and orange, the entire upper bowl. The maps that JPJ Arena prints out – that show you where GA seating are, apparently were, quote, misinformation, because the baseline by Tech's bench was supposed to be general admission seating. Tech fans were trying to get down there. They're showing the people the maps. The ushers are telling everyone that that's misinformation, that these are student seats. Well, it's spring break at Virginia. There were no students at this game.
Right.
The only students in that section, so I ended up sitting behind Virginia Tech's bench on the second level on the front row. So I had a really good seat. And I could see the section that I had tried to sit in, which was on the baseline. The only students in that section were the men's team for Virginia. Everybody else was like older Virginia fans and families. So they were very selective with who they let down there.
Yeah.
They treated it very similar to the football game where it's like, no, the Hokies have to go up into the atmosphere, even though there's, you know, six times as many of you here. But it was all said and done. It was a pretty good crowd for both teams. You know, when the Hokies would go on a run, it sounded like Castle and vice versa. It was a tough game, though. I mean, UVA played really well. Kaimora Johnson's a really good basketball player.
Yeah, she's good.
She's going to be a pain for Virginia Tech for years to come. Coach Mox has this program trending in a positive direction. They've struggled historically, but, you know, they're sitting at, after last night's win, 15 and 14 and 7 and 11 in the conference, trending upward. Kaimora Johnson finished with 21, just a really, really good player. And Virginia Tech, you know, outside of Amor and Kitley, had a really hard time getting anything going. You know, obviously we'll talk more about Liz in a second here, but she finished with 20 and 9. Georgia finished with 39, out of control. But then nobody else was in double figures. Strack finished with 8, you know, Wenzel 2, Baker 3, King 3, Samuel and Eck, 2 of your 5 starters, finished with 0 points. So overall, outside of the two, you know, kind of the two big dogs, it was tough for anybody to get anything going for Virginia Tech. And, you know, meanwhile, UVA was much more balanced. They had Taylor had 17, Johnson had 21, like I said, Clark had 16. They didn't have anybody else in double figures, but they had, instead of, you know, a bunch of people with 3 points, they had 8, 4, 6, 4, 2. So they had a lot more people score than we did. Just a little bit more balanced attack. And obviously, once Liz went down with her injury, which I guess we'll get into now, it was tough for the Hokies to keep pace outside of Georgia Amor hitting 8 threes and, you know, 13 of 26 from the floor, playing out of her mind. So it was overall just kind of a tough game for a lot of reasons. At the end, obviously, nobody's mind was on the result. Everybody's mind was on Liz. And, you know, obviously, we're praying for the best there. But it was, you know, I had a pretty good view. I was second level front row, right behind our bench, which is right in front of the basket where it happened. really weird play. I think you could probably count on one, at most two hands, how many times Liz Kitley's had a fast break layup like that in her career. Just not something she does a lot of or is in the position to do a lot of. So for a lot of reasons, it was a really weird play, really fluky. We'll see what the results bear. I personally am not overly optimistic just based on body language in the building and just kind of, you know, we kind of just sucked the air out of the Virginia Tech side, you know, the Virginia Tech bench. And you know, obviously they weathered the storm and bounced back and remained competitive in this game. And kudos to the staff and the players for being able to do that, because that's kind of an emotional roller coaster. You know, Virginia Tech coming into the second half down, Liz's bucket on the play where she was injured gave us tied the game, and then we took the lead on the eventual free throw. Battled all the way back to take the lead early in the third quarter, and then you know you get hit with that kind of emotional roadblock. For the players to be able to power through that and finish the game and compete really hard down to the end, where it came down to some interesting calls that went UVA's way and ultimately gave them the win. I was super impressed with the players' resiliency and able to fight back from that. But obviously thoughts and prayers with the Kitley family and Liz first and foremost. It's super disappointing if you know, if this ultimately is, you know, what everybody fears or the worst in terms of a knee injury. But again, hopefully it's not. But if it is, just not the way you want to see a career like that end for anybody, much less the Virginia Tech player, anybody. I wouldn't want to see that happen to a Virginia player of that stature. Like, you don't want to see, I can't even think of one off the top of my head, but like, you don't want to see Ty Jerome have a fantastic college career and that's how he ends his career. You know, right. Like, you don't want to see anybody. The comp I made last night was, it's like a 10-1 Virginia Tech football team, you know, kind of on the edge of going to the playoff. And Michael Vick, you know, hurts his knee against Virginia the day after Thanksgiving, and your season kind of, you know, you're still right there. You're going to be in the postseason. You know, you're ranked really high. You had a good year, but your best player and, you know, the most important player in program history is now out. That's the only comp I could really think of off the top of my head would be, you know, the football team being in position to do something cool and then Michael Vick getting hurt. Again, thoughts and prayers are with Liz. I'm rambling a little bit here because I just still can't believe that happened, because she's played 5 years. She's played over 5,000 minutes, relatively injury free throughout her career. And then last game of the regular season on a team that won the ACC regular season title that she built. And this happens. It's kind of mind boggling.
I mean, she's the best player in school history. She's the most impactful player in school history, most important player in school history, like in terms of the women's basketball program. But, you know, we've had the conversation about her in terms of like the echelon of Virginia Tech athletes. Like, she's top five and she's closer to one than she is to five, right? She's a top two or three athlete in the history of the athletic program of Virginia Tech. So if this is the way that it ends, that's going to be a really tough pill to swallow. She had 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 blocks in 22 minutes before she got hurt last night.
So dumb.
I mean, on the 3 or 4 possessions before she got hurt, I mean, Virginia Tech was just force-feeding her, right? Because all of a sudden they were like, all right, look, we're trailing at halftime. They don't really have an answer for Liz. Like, let's just get her, like, 30-plus points. And she was starting to impose her will on the basketball game when she got hurt. And you mentioned that, you know, her bucket put Virginia Tech up. This game had the potential to be a double-digit win for Virginia Tech if Kitley remains in the game. It was just trending that way.
Yeah.
The way the offense started to look, the way the offense was clicking, struggled a little bit in the first half, but, you know, they started getting Kitley the ball more. There were certainly some halftime adjustments made by Kenny Brooks to get her into some advantageous positions. But, yeah, to have 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 blocks in 22 minutes, and then to get hurt like that, in a game that, like, let's be honest, right, there's a rivalry with UVA, but this game was totally meaningless for Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech already locked up the number one seed in the conference tournament, locked up a double bye. If Virginia Tech wins the ACC, which for my money is the toughest league in women's basketball,
yes,
they're going to be a one seed, right, in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament. So this game really was meaningless, even if Virginia Tech loses this game last night and goes on and wins the ACC tournament. Now the math changes a little bit, and by a little bit, I mean a lot, right? If Liz is hurt and it's as bad as it looks and she is done for the year, the season is over. Like, I understand fans want to be a little bit optimistic heading into the tournament, even without Liz, but, like, let's be honest here. Without your All-American center, the best player in school history, the season is over. The ceiling is significantly lower than it would be, obviously, with her in the lineup. Like, I don't think I'm breaking new ground here. Georgia Amor last night was unbelievable. Liz went out, and Georgia tried to take the game over herself, which she certainly has the capability of doing. 13 of 26 from the field. She was 8 of 15 from 3, 5 of 7 from the free throw line. 39 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds. She's going to have to turn into Caitlin Clark in terms of shooting volume if Kitley can't play anymore. She's going to have to shoot 30, 35 times a game. She's just going to have to carry this offense, right? Because for as good as Kayla King can be, for as good as Matilda Eck can be, for as good as Olivia Sumiel can be, Clara Strack obviously will have a much bigger role if Kitley's out of the lineup, and she's a promising young player, and she's going to be really, really good. But this offense is going to run through Georgia. And look, Ed, you know this. The offense really does run through Georgia to begin with. Like, Kitley's great, and she is a really good post player for Virginia Tech. But if Tech needs a bucket, like, they need a bucket bad in isolation, they're going to Georgia Amor. And it's just going to be that on steroids moving forward, and it's going to have to be for Virginia Tech to even resemble anywhere close to what it needs to be to kind of reach their aspirations or their end goal. Now, look, end goal with Kitley is to try to win a national championship. This team was a Final Four team last year. Yeah. Obviously, it was coming on strong towards the end of the year. Had a tough week, lost a tough road game to Notre Dame. But if Kitley's healthy last night, I think they win that game, right? And it's like, okay, a bump in the road. You go up to South Bend against a team that matches up really well against Virginia Tech, and you lose, that's okay, right? It's a tough league. But you locked up the one seed in the conference tournament. You're trending in a direction where you could try to defend your ACC title. You could try to get back, have a one seed. You know, Virginia Tech is probably going to have a situation where they're going to host regional, right? I don't know how Virginia Tech makes it to the second weekend. And I, you know, fans might think I'm being a little bit overly dramatic, but depending on what the matchups are, Ed, like, I think Virginia Tech will win their first game, right? I think they'll be fine. But I think that round of 32 game is going to be pretty tough depending on who they draw, because you run into a bad matchup. And we saw this a few years ago against Florida Gulf Coast in that 5-12 game. You run into a tough matchup. Nothing's guaranteed in the ACC in the NCAA tournament. And if you don't have your star player, it's going to be really, really tough. And the role players are only as good as they are because Liz Kitley and Georgia Amor are both healthy and on the floor. And if you really only have to let Amor get hers, right, and just kind of play defense on everybody else, I think that's a strategy I think a lot of coaches will deploy against Virginia Tech moving forward if Kitley is as hurt as we think she is. Virginia Tech becomes a very, very beatable team, and that it's unfortunate, but that's just kind of the way it is the morning after. And it's a really tough pill to swallow because this looked like a team that could certainly make a run to try to get back to a Final Four. And now you're in a position where you're not even sure if they'll get to the second weekend. And that's real tough for a lot of reasons. And it's tough for Liz, and it's tough for, you know, Kayla and Georgia, who I know Georgia has a year left, but you know, for those three who have been together in this program for multiple years, right, and to make a Final Four last year, fall short of your ultimate goal, but to feel like you have a real shot to try to get back there and try to get to a national championship game, and to have this happen in a game that's essentially meaningless, it's tough. And it's not a surprise why Kenny Brooks was as emotional as he was after the game in the post-game press conference. You know, saying that he has no news on Georgia or on Liz Kitley, that tells you everything you need to know. And, you know, we all saw the pictures of her knee, real bruised up, not looking good. Yes, she walked out of the tunnel, but Ed, you said she was carried off the floor after the game, which, you know, obviously I'm sure her knee stiffened up because with the way that looked, I mean, that's understandable. And, you know, you were in the building, you can speak to the body language of the players, but we all saw, you know, whether we were in the building or not, we all saw Kenny Brooks's comments after the game and his body language and how he was talking about it. Like, this is not looking particularly good. So we'll kind of hold our breath, hope there's an announcement of something, you know, some sort of good news that maybe, you know, wouldn't hold her out for the entire year. But I mean, look, this is a situation where Virginia Tech's playing in the ACC tournament later this week. Obviously, don't expect Kitley to play, right? NCAA tournament begins in a little under 2 weeks. So you're hoping that, you know, if it's not a serious injury, maybe Kittley gets back for like a round of 32 game, right? Give her a little more time to rest. But that's like best case scenario. And, you know, she's probably not going to be 100%. So even if she's able to play again, like, this is not looking very good.
Yep. It's, I don't have high hopes in terms of, you know, Liz's availability. Again, just reading the body language of everyone on the floor, including Liz, you know, when she grabbed her knee, she had a pretty distraught look on her face. Like she probably felt something, or, you know, who knows. But I actually will probably, this is, you know, the optimist Ed that everybody hates on the Hokie basketball Twitter and boards pages. But I actually, I was actually pretty impressed with how they played without her. It was a completely different approach, right? So,
yeah,
I'll talk about it a little bit from like just the basketball perspective. So they essentially, Kittley goes down, right? So now insert Claire Strack. Welcome to the big show, 18-year-old freshman.
8-8.
Yeah, 8-8, three blocks in 22 minutes. Unfortunately, fouled out. Some pretty horrible calls. I can say that. I don't get fined by the ACC. Some pretty horrible calls, including the moving screen on Georgia that would have been a three. That would have been a three to give her 42 points. And the hope is a three-point lead. Yeah, horrible call. So insert Claire Strack. She comes in, makes the free throw on the Kittley injury and one. She then had a couple layups, I think. I think she had already had a layup at that point. Finished 3 of 5 from the floor and 2 of 3 from the free throw line. The second free throw she made on the back end of her, she got fouled going up. Misses the front end. She's staring into the band and what was supposed to be the student section. She's staring into the band, and, you know, they do the same Smithfield Bacon promotion we do. She misses the front end, and I'm like, oh, no. You got an 18-year-old freshman standing there literally trying to save the bacon for Virginia Tech in the second half. And she just two dribbles, splash. And I was like, oh, that was a – that was no nerves from her at all. That was a big girl free throw. I was really impressed with Claire Strack down the stretch. Obviously, there's freshman moments. Things aren't quite as crisp offensively or defensively in terms of rotations. But, you know, she's obviously going to get a little bit of a baptism by fire here down the stretch in the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament if Liz is out. So I'm really high on Claire Strack long term. I actually think she can do some nice things for you short term as well. She's obviously not going to give you 34 and 10, but I think she could give you, you know, 12 and 9 with a couple of blocks if she stays out of foul trouble. So I'm pretty high on Claire Strack. I think she can fill the shoes as much as you could expect a freshman to fill those shoes.
Yeah, she's gonna be really good.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on her and what she could be for Virginia Tech in the postseason here. But again, so this is kind of what they ended up doing. So Coach Brooks on the fly. Because he's a brilliant basketball mind, and we're so lucky to have him. Insert Claire Strack, took Olivia Sumiel off the floor for most of the second half, and it was largely Amor King, Eck, Karis Baker, who played 27 minutes last night, and Carly Wenzel. So he puts Carly Wenzel in to play point guard, moves Georgia off the ball in a similar way to you would see, I guess, MJ Collins bringing the ball up and Sean Padula off the ball, coming off pin downs and things like that to try to get him free. He did the same thing for Georgia. She was able to get free and get, you know, a step or two and get her shot off to finish with that 39 points. I really like Carly Wenzel's game. I really like what she brings offensively. And I think her length and height defensively present challenges, particularly on the ball and in that zone that they ran in the second half that gave Virginia a hard time.
Yep.
I think Wenzel's athleticism and length prevents a lot of challenge or promotes a lot of challenges for the other team. She only took one shot. It was a layup. She made it. But I think you're going to see a lot more Carly Wenzel going forward because she presents a playmaking ability going to the rim that Kayla King and Matilda Eck don't really provide as much. Matilda Eck can put the ball on the floor and go to the basket, but not the way Carly can. Yeah. Carly can beat her man off the dribble, get downhill, and finish around the rim. We saw it against Iowa early in the year when she came in early in that game and made some big plays. She's kind of just a bucket getter and has no fear. And I'm anticipating seeing a lot more of her in this, you know, potential Kitley-less lineup. You know, you kind of don't have a choice. You have Clara Strack and you have Olivia Samuel. And then I would think that they try to find a way to get Rose Michaud involved in some capacity off the bench, as, you know, a physically imposing, athletic, rebounding power forward, just because they need more rotation pieces now.
Yeah.
But I think overall, you're right. I mean, it's going to be the George Amore show. I'm excited to watch it personally. But
it's going to be something.
It's going to be Georgia and Clara and then a bunch of people who shoot, you know, 42% from three. So it's going to be a fast, guard-heavy, three-point dominant lineup if Liz is out. I think they'll try to implement some of the same things they do with Liz with Clara to a lesser degree. But I think you can do a little bit of the same stuff in terms of you know, the two-man game with Georgia. They'll probably try to still run a little bit of that. But I'm really interested to see how Coach Brooks is able to adapt once they have a clear sense of direction in the building as to what's going to be happening moving forward. Fortunately, they have till Friday to kind of work through what a Liz Kitley-less lineup might have to look like. If that is where this, you know, trends, they've got a few days to figure something out. It reminded me of J-Rob back in 2019, except Justin got hurt in the middle of ACC play, and this was the last game of ACC play, but you kind of have to reinvent yourself. Fortunately for Virginia Tech, who knows what will happen, but we've got a really, really good basketball coach. Coach Brooks is as good as they come in this country, and I'm confident he'll get this team in a position to be competitive in that game against either Carolina or Miami. And then if they're able to get by those two or that one game, they'll then play Notre Dame most likely in what would be the semifinals of the ACC tournament. So next game for the girls is Friday at 1:30 against either North Carolina or Miami. Again, thoughts and prayers with Liz Kitley and her family. She's literally the GOAT of Virginia Tech basketball. And like you said, top five athlete, closer to one than to five. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
So I really hope she's okay. Hope she's in good spirits. And looking forward to watching this team play on Friday and, you know, hopefully beating Carolina for like the seventh straight time. That'd be pretty cool. To the men. So we also haven't recorded in a while since the men played. I was at, I think right before we recorded, it was right before UVA.
Yep.
And I was at that game. I've never seen anything quite like that in Castle that I can remember. 36-16 first half, 39-25 second half. At one point, I think 3 minutes into the second half, we had 39 points and UVA still had 16. And I was sitting with John Yetzi and he looks at me and goes, I'm not sure that they're going to score 39. and they only scored 41. So he was almost right. That was out of control. I mean, that was just executing a scouting report to a T.
Yeah.
I mean, everything Virginia ran, we were right in the way of. Robbie Barron is just standing where the Virginia player wants to go. Just knew their sets inside and out and did a fantastic job defending them. And then conversely on offense, you know, everything ran perfectly for Virginia Tech. I mean, I'm looking at the box score. Everybody checked into the game at some point. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Tyler Nickel with 13, Poteet 11, Padula 8, Couture 6, Kidd 14, Barron 13. What's crazy about this game is that your fours and your fives, because Nickel, you know, is kind of a four right now for us.
Yep.
All finished in double digits, which is the complete opposite of what happened in Charlottesville, where they dominated us inside in Charlottesville. And we completely flipped that on its head in Blacksburg. And Barron 13, Kidd 14, Poteet 11, Nickel 13. Those are your only double digit scores. The guards didn't even get into double figures and were able to beat Virginia by 30 plus. Absolute masterclass from the coaching staff in terms of a scout and in terms of, you know, the scout was amazing. The players executed it well, and they absolutely dominated a Virginia team that is, I guess, right now kind of hanging on by a thread for NCAA tournament hopes.
I mean, UVA in four of their last five losses, they failed to score 50 points, right? I mean, the Achilles heel there for UVA right now is offensively, they are not what they have been in years past. I know people are going to
pretty horrible.
I know people are going to laugh at that because, you know, UVA has always been known under Tony Bennett to be a stalwart defensively, right? Short of their national title year where they had a pretty good offense. Like, they've obviously been known for the defense that they play and not their offense. But this offense, I mean, you said it, is terrible. I mean, this is bad by Tony Bennett standards, this offense, right? Kind of needs a bit of a makeover. I will call out UVA fans on social media. I mean, they are the fringe, right? I mean, every fan base has them. Virginia Tech has them, right? Where, you know, you want to lose one game, fire everybody sort of thing. The people calling for Tony Bennett's job are brain dead. Like, I don't want to turn this into a UVA podcast, but if you're calling for Tony Bennett's job, you have lost the plot, okay? Hall of Fame coach. He's won you a national title within the last 5 years. Let's chill out, okay? Do they need to tweak some things? Absolutely. But, like, the minute they let Tony Bennett walk out that door is the minute the UVA basketball program is done, like, absolutely cooked. So, if you want to do that, be my guest, right? Totally fine. On the Virginia Tech side, like, you're totally correct. They kind of owned UVA in that basketball game. They had that going in a really good direction throughout. Were able to kind of call out, essentially, everything that was happening before it happened. Really good advanced scout there, like you mentioned. Sorry. Puppy was acting crazy there. But yeah, I mean, they're just a really dominant performance offensively and defensively. Was really impressed with how that team looked. So yeah, really good win, and always good to beat the Hoos in Charlottesville, where Virginia Tech's had a lot of success recently.
Yeah, that was an awesome game. And then, you know, things are trending well, and then we go up to Pitt and struggle. Pitt's a pretty good team, and this Virginia Tech team in particular has had a really hard time on the road. I mean, I'm kind of going to gloss over these two because there's not a whole reason to talk about them too much.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Pitt, 79-64 loss. I think is Pitt going to be an NCAA tournament team? I think they've got a shot, right?
Yeah, they're fringe. I mean, they're on the bubble right now. I looked at going into the weekend. I think they were like last four in, or they were last four byes. So, I mean, they're one of the last eight teams in going into the weekend.
Yeah, so go up to Pitt and lose. You know, Jeff Capel's got that program turning in the right direction in the last 2 years. They've been pretty good team.
He does.
And then go up to Syracuse into whatever they call that dome these days and lose 84-71. You know, it was kind of the tale of two halves. Virginia Tech really struggled in the first. Syracuse kind of just did whatever they want in the first half.
Yeah.
45-27 first half. And then the second half, Virginia Tech won 44-39. Obviously not enough of a disparity there. Junior Mintz played 40 minutes and had 29 points on 10 of 17 shooting. He's a really good player. He'll be playing in the NBA. But
Adrian Autry, like coach of the year candidate, serious coach of the year candidate. He's been really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, he's got Syracuse at 9th. Wait, no, what are they now? That was when we played them. 20-10, fourth in the ACC. It's a good team. And it's a tough place to play historically for Virginia Tech in any sport. So that was a tough loss. But then the one that I kind of want to drill down on a little bit more, 87-76 win over Wake Forest. A Wake Forest team who handled Virginia Tech easily early in the year. I think it was the first the first official conference game was Louisville, but the first start of ACC play was Wake Forest.
Yep.
Wake came in 18-10 and 10-7, and we came in 15-13 and 7-10. We lost the first half 46-37 and then
down by 15 at one point.
And then won the second half by 20, 50-30 in the second half. So really was the tale of two halves. Hunter Couture was fantastic. He finished with 26 points on 9 of 15 from the field and 5 of 10 from three. Sean Padula played a really good basketball game, 15-6 with one turnover. Lynn Kidd had 21, pretty much like all dunks. I mean, just getting the ball, getting the ball in elite positions and finishing.
They let him do the only thing that he's good at, Ed. Like, and that's not, I'm not trying to back on Lynn Kidd, but like his strength is the rim running, and they just let him do that the entire game.
Yeah, he did a great job of getting himself really deep post position and capitalizing on it.
Yep.
He had 21. Barron had 8. Poteet had 6. MJ Collins played a really good game. I don't think he got enough credit for how well he played the other night. 11 points on 5 of 7 shooting. Took MJ Collins shots, you know, getting to the rim, mid-range pull-ups, was really aggressive in getting to his spots and and did so at a really high rate. He also finished with 5 assists. So that was a really good MJ Collins game. It was just a completely like different team in the second half. I mean, they came out in the second half and just executed in the same way they did against Virginia. Just executing at a super high level, put up 50 points to win the second half by 20 and take home a quad one win. I mean, that was a really good win for Virginia Tech. And, you know, it's really frustrating, right? I mean, we've talked about this a lot. It's frustrating to see them play as well as they did against Virginia and as well as they did in that second half against Wake. Because then you think back and you're like, oh, 2-point loss to South Carolina, you know, both Miami games, Notre Dame game, you know, if you take two of those, where are you sitting?
Split Florida State, which that first one, you know, you have them. I mean, you had to like storm back in the last 40 seconds, but like that game went to the wire.
Yeah. So they, I mean, they just, you think back on the what ifs of the season, but then conversely, and you know, fans won't want to hear this, but you know, if we're able to finish out these last two games and, you know, win a road game, please, for the love of God, win a road game against a bad Louisville team and then take care of business at home against Notre Dame the second time around. You finish at, you know, 18-13 and 10-10 in conference. It's not great. It's certainly not horrible. In terms of, you know, where this program is and in the ACC in terms of operations funding, dead last, I believe, last time I checked, we were last in the ACC in operations funding. Not sitting super well NIL-wise, I don't believe. So in terms of where this program is to finish, you know, 500 in the conference and, you know, 18 wins, wouldn't be a horrible year considering, you know, one of your most impactful players walked out the door 2 weeks before tip-off.
Ed Mekhi Long
has been out for pretty much all of ACC play.
Ed, the fans aren't going to want to hear this.
I don't care.
Okay. Are you ready? It's a testament to the coaching.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, is that, can I say that? Is that
absolutely
allowed? I mean, everybody wants to fire everybody. Is that, can I say that?
Yeah. Is yeah. That fire, Tony Bennett fired. Mike Young. Yeah, everyone, right. You know, fire everybody. It's just, I mean, it would be a really good coaching job. I mean, obviously you think back to the what ifs and, you know, a bucket here, bucket there, and you're in the NCAA tournament. And I completely agree. You know, there was games we lost and the way we lost that were pretty inexcusable. But all things considered, you know, you lose Rodney Rice 2 weeks before tip off. You have no opportunity to replace him at that point in time.
None.
You know, was expected to be one of your better players. Mekhi Long, who was expected to be a pretty good role piece for you, has been out for pretty much all of ACC play with that knee injury. They're playing, you know, 7 guys most nights and have a chance to finish 500 in the conference, go to the NIT, finish with 18 wins overall. It's hard to be super upset about it, but definitely some, you know, looking back at some games that got away that shouldn't have. Yeah. We've documented all those, you know, ad nauseum on here. I'm excited to see how they play against Louisville. You know, Louisville has talent. Huntley Hatfield's talented. Scott Clark's talented. They've got some good players. They obviously haven't strung things together, and they're going to be the premier job that opens up here when the season ends. I'm sure.
Call Chris Mack.
I'm expecting them to get somebody really good. I'm expecting them to be the premier job that opens up and turn around in a hurry. So go down to the Yum Center and get them while you still can.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
And then you finish up against Notre Dame, who you obviously struggled with in a game that was kind of the nail in the coffin of NCAA tournament hopes, but you get them at home where Virginia Tech's been really good.
Yep.
Last home game for Hunter Couture, which will be really sad.
and he's playing well right now too. Like,
he's playing so well right now.
So,
but you know, you win both of these, and you might have a shot at hosting an NIT game, which would be pretty cool as well. So, we'll see how things go for the men's team the rest of the way. I expect April to be a pretty interesting month in that building. You know, you're going to have to replace via the portal Hunter Couture, Robbie Barron, Mekhi Long. Who knows what other kinds of attrition there will be via the portal. It's going to be an interesting month. You know, you got to replace Hunter Couture, who's played every single game under Mike Young. I mean, there's no player that embodies Mike Young's basketball time at Virginia Tech more than Hunter Couture.
Right.
For my money, probably one of the best players in school history. So replacing him out of the portal is going to be a challenge. Replacing, you know, Robbie Barron, who's played significant minutes every single game for Virginia Tech, will be a challenge. Finding a way to build some bench depth with that spot that Mekhi Long will alleviate. You know, it's super important. All these portal decisions are obviously super, super important to the direction of this program moving forward. And then hopefully player retention is able to be at a high clip. You're going to have a lot of guys who will have options. So hopefully they're able to retain some of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, the main one is Padula. I mean, we'll call that as we see it. You know, you lose Sean Padula, you're going to be playing Rex Steiner big minutes next year, which he was in line, I think, for bigger minutes anyway, assuming he stays with the program, right? That's another big if. Like, is he going to stick around? So hopefully you hold on to Padula because he's kind of the guy that makes the offensive engine go, and you can kind of build around him a little bit going into his senior year.
Yeah, Padula and Kidd, I think, would be the two guys that
Kidd's got eligibility left. Yep.
Need to do a really good job of retaining those guys. Portal era is weird, man. Who knows what's going to happen? But one last thing I wanted to talk about briefly, as you mentioned this, is on the girls' side of the house. The latest bracketology came out on Friday. I'm assuming we will drop to the 3 line after last night's loss.
Yeah, for sure.
Apparently has us at the 2 line, but assuming we fall to that 3 line, you would be then playing those. If you were able to win your first game, you play that 3-6 matchup, which would be, you know, ideally in Castle Coliseum. But just to give people an idea of who's on that 6 line right now, that's Baylor, that's Duke, that's Louisville, that's Creighton. So it's some good programs. You know, Duke, we have obviously, you know, we split with them this year. Louisville, we were able to take care of business. And then Creighton and Baylor, who we haven't seen. But those are some of those teams that are on that 6 line. And if we are able to, you know, go deep in the ACC tournament and stay on the 2 line, that's, you know, you're ended up playing that 7 seed in the second game. That's Florida State. That's Michigan State. That's West Virginia. And that's North Carolina. So
yep.
Finding a way to identify, assuming Liz is out, finding a way to identify what that next kind of offensive and defensive identity is going to look like in a Liz Kitley-less world.
Quickly.
And do that in a hurry is going to be really important because, you know, I still like Virginia Tech's chances to beat teams like Marshall or Chattanooga or Eastern Washington or Cleveland State. You know, those are the 14 seeds that you'd run into in that 3 line in the first game. Even without Liz, you know, assuming worst case scenario, I like our chances to handle business against some of those teams. But then, yeah, I mean, the 6 line's tough. So find that identity quick.
Yep. Find it quick. Hopefully, hopefully you're able to play your way into a 2 seed, which I think will be kind of an uphill battle. But, I mean, that's what you're going to need to do because I think if you find your offensive identity, you know, you're going to put yourself in position to maybe win the ACC. So that gets you back on the 2 line.
Yeah.
And at that point, then you're looking at, okay, what are the matchups looking like? How do we match up with this next iteration of our offense? So that's what we're going to be looking at here in the near term.
Yeah. And I guess while I have it in front of me, for the purpose of this exercise, if we fall to the 4 line, that you're playing, you know, the 5 seeds, you right now, you'd be in theory playing our Kansas State, Notre Dame, Utah, and Syracuse. So 5 lines stacked, you know. Alyssa Pillay out at Utah would be a tough matchup, and Syracuse is good. Notre Dame's good.
Notre Dame's a brutal matchup for Virginia Tech too. Wes Bell gives Virginia Tech issues in terms of like when Kitley's in the lineup. Wes Bell bothers her enough with her height. Obviously, if Notre Dame had Olivia Miles, this would be, you know, totally different. But
Notre Dame had Olivia Miles, they'd be a one.
But Hannah Hidalgo's a tough matchup for Amore. You mentioned her 7-for-24 shooting night last week against the Irish. Like, Hidalgo is a tough matchup, number one, because she's the best on-ball defender in the country, in my opinion, but two, because of her size advantage she has over Amore, makes it really tough.
Yep, so we'll see how things play out. I'm looking forward to watching the girls play on Friday at 1:30 and hopefully getting a big win and moving on to the ACC semifinals. But men got Louisville tomorrow night on Tuesday, and then they have Notre Dame on Saturday for senior day. And hopefully Castle's really full on Saturday to send Hunter Kapoor off in a good way. Man, that guy is an all-timer.
Yeah.
I got nothing else, so go Hokies.
It's time to wander, tripping in the sand. We smoke out windows, drink till we can't stand, but I saw you.